Well, good morning, everybody. Gosh, it's so good to be back here. And the first reading talks about this is a house of prayer. And so it's good to be back in our own house of prayer. And even the opening antiphon was Psalm 84, which was, "Better is one day in your house than a thousand elsewhere." And so we know that feeling very well here. And so what a great joy. And it's also, I know some folks had a hard time finding a place to park, but remember the beautiful prayer, "Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking place." It works. And anyways, Hebrews 10 says we need patience to do God's will. Brian Fisher's going to give us a beautiful update at the end of Mass today, kind of about how things are and what's to expect in next weeks and months and so forth. But yeah, just thanks. And it's a beautiful house of prayer. And one of the beautiful things about it is our high altar. And there is Saint Henry right there on the left, who was married to Saint Kunigunda, and whose teacher was Saint Wolfgang. But anyway, Saint Henry. So what a blessing to have Henry getting baptized today in this Holy Mass. And so there's a lot to be thankful for. We're also thankful for our mother. Yesterday was the Feast of the Assumption, and the day before was Maximilian Kolbe, his feast day. And he's the one I really kind of wanted to think a little bit about today, because I've always been intrigued by his life. It has always sort of captivated me, I think, because his life shows us a man given fully over to the Lord, fully over to the Blessed Mother, fully to others. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about his story because it's so important. Many of us, by the way, 36 of us to be exact, are getting ready for a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, but also to Poland, where we will see all the holy sites of St. John Paul II, my great hero of mine, and also St. Faustina, who I love so much, and St. Maximilian Kolbe, who I also have always just seen as a great, great hero. By the way, we have four openings in that pilgrimage. Some folks have had to step away from it. And so if it's October 18th through the 28th, if anybody feels so called, we originally had 25 spots, but they filled up so fast, they bumped it up to 40. But now we have a few openings. If anybody is feeling called, I would love to have you on that pilgrimage. In any event, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, this man was born in 1894 in Poland. And I have here, you can't see it, I wish I had it much bigger. This is the one that I have in my office of Maximilian Kolbe. And so many beautiful things are going on in this image. One of them is that there's a red crown and a white crown. And that's because when Maximilian Kolbe was 10 years old, he wasn't named Maximilian yet. He got that name when he became a Franciscan. You change your name. He was Raymond. And he was like a lot of kids. He got in trouble a lot. And one time his mom is just like shaking him, like, "What's going to become of you, Raymond? And you keep misbehaving. You keep getting in trouble." And so he went to the church nearby and he prayed in front of the statue of Our Lady of Victory. We also know her as Our Lady of the Rosary. And he prayed in front of her and he said, "I keep getting in trouble. What's going to become of me?" It's like the statue came alive. And we're going to get to visit this statue and have Mass there at that altar. And the statue came alive. And Mother Mary had a red crown in her right hand and a white one in her left. And she said to that little boy, "Which crown do you want? If you take the red crown, you will die a martyr for my son, Jesus. If you take a white crown, you will live a life of purity, a life purely given over to my son, Jesus." And little Raymond, he goes, "I want both." And so Mother Mary, it was a prophetic moment because he did get both. When he was 6 years older than that, he was 16, he became a Franciscan. We can never underestimate, and we must always be feeding the faith of our young people. It's so important. And it's when you look at Mother Teresa became a nun at 15, Vincent de Paul became a priest at 16, Maximilian Kolbe became a Franciscan at 16. God can do amazing things through young people who are in love with him. and who have the faith. And that's my prayer for Henry. It's my prayer for all of our kids in our parishes. And so he becomes a friar at 16, Franciscan. By the way, this is the same type of friar that are in Bloomington, Indiana, at Mother of the Redeemer Farm, where I grew up nearby there. And so anyways, he becomes a friar, and he's so smart, so holy, that the superiors say, you need to be a priest. You know, a lot of the Franciscans will just remain brothers. And you need to be a priest. So they send him to Rome. And when he gets to Rome, something horrific happens. And that is that it's 1917 is the year. And the Freemasons were celebrating their 200th anniversary of their first lodge in England. And so all these Freemasons were there, and in St. Peter's Square. And they had signs, death to the Vatican, death to the Pope is the devil. And they had this banner of St. Michael being clobbered to death by the devil. And it was just like, Maximilian sees all this stuff. By now he's Maximilian because he's a prince. And he's just like, what is going on here? And he sees all this evil going on. And he's, how are we going to fight this? And he goes, there's so much evil here, but there's so much evil everywhere. Like, how are we going to fight this? And he was praying about it. And Mother Mary, she said, start a militia immaculata, an army of the immaculate. And that this would be a group of people who would fight all of this evil going on in the world, not with violence or hatred, but with the mother's love, with her love, with the love of the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And because remember Genesis 3:15, it says that the heel of the woman, Mary, will step and crush the enemy, the head of the ancient foe, the devil. And so Maximilian Kolbe's like, we're gonna start like this militia immaculata, the army of the Immaculate. And it grew. And it grew kind of fast. Because here's a group of people where we're going to fight with the faith against all this evil with the power of Our Lady, who knows how to step on the head of the foe and crush it. We're going to be dedicated to Our Lady because no one is as fully given over to Jesus Christ as Mother Mary. And so he's going, we're going to be dedicated in that way, with that same forcefulness, that same heart. And she, Mother Mary, who interceded at the very first miracle, John chapter 2 of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, she will be interceding for us with miracles upon miracles and upon miracles for the salvation of real souls. And this militia grew. And it grew. And Maximilian Kolbe decided one day that he's the patron saint of media, because he started a newspaper called the Knights of the Immaculata. And this thing, he had like 800 friars, and it was the biggest monastery in all of Europe. And it was a printing press 24 hours a day. And they were printing hundreds of thousands of newspapers every single week about the faith and about what is necessary for salvation and about all that, and it was converting people left and right. Then he started a radio show. And it was the radio version of the newspaper. And people started listening. It was like a Fulton Sheen ahead of his time. And all of these people are like, oh my gosh, converts, converts, converts. And everything that he was doing to evangelize the world, which by the way is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Like, we're supposed to be out there, all of us, like, trying, like, there's evil everywhere. Well, let's join with Our Lady, join with her forces to shut down that evil that we're seeing. And let's do that. And so this is beautiful. So all this evangelization, all the things that he was doing was towards one end, to win the whole world for Jesus Christ through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And in this image, this famous image, his rosary is wrapping around the entire globe. And remember, this happened. He started the militia of the Immaculata 3 days after the sixth and final apparition of Our Lady at Fatima. And what did Mary say to the three Fatima children every single time? My Immaculate Heart will triumph. And so that's why it says, am I right here, all in the Lord? Because my immaculate heart will triumph. And Maximilian Kolbe and his Militia Immaculata, which continues to this day, the friars in Bloomington are a part of it, is continuing this great, great mission of Our Lady to conquer the world with her immaculate heart and all the evil and step on the snake. It's just amazing. So all these good things were happening. Then, World War II. Maximilian Kolbe is now 47 years old. He's in Poland again. And, oh, by the way, he also started a friary and a newspaper in Japan, even though he didn't know how to speak Japanese. He said, with the Holy Spirit and her and his spouse, Our Lady, we can do it. And they did it. And they built their monastery in Nagasaki, but on the other side of the mountain, it was spared when the U.S. dropped the bomb. But anyways, he's back he's 47 years old, World War II, the Nazis invade Poland. And they didn't like his printing press because the Catholic Church has always spoken for the dignity of the human person, religious freedom, all the things that the Nazis were against. They didn't like his radio show. And so they came to arrest him. They also didn't like the fact that he was using his friary to house Jewish refugees. And they didn't like that. So they came and they arrested him and they put him in Auschwitz. And there he lived for 2 months, a brutal life, tortured, all these things. And then it happened that the famous part of his story begins where he was in a little bunker with 50 other guys or so, and one of them broke out. And the punishment if one broke out was that they would put 10 of the other ones in the starvation bunker and they die of starvation. And that was to deter them from trying to escape. Well, one of the guys escaped. So they lined up all 50 of them. They had to stand at attention in the scorching heat for the whole day, 6-8 hours. And some of them fainted. And then the commandant came over and he picked his 10, one by one, randomly. Maximilian was not one of the 10 chosen to go to the starvation bunker, but the last one was named Francis, the 10th. And when his number, they didn't have names, they only had numbers. His was, Maximilian's was 16670. And when they called this Francis, the last one, the 10th one to go die in the starvation bunker, he yelled out, he says, my wife, my children, I'll never see them again. And Maximilian Kolbe stood up and broke rank, walked right over to the commandant, and he said, I will take his place. And the commandant, he said, one pig is the same as another. Fine. And Maximilian went with the other 9 in place of the other one to the starvation bunker. And normally those were places of great despair and desperation, and they would do horrific things, and you could only imagine. But he is always painted glowing. And that's because it was almost like he was strengthening his brothers. He was allowing the light of the Lord even in that horrible place. He baptized the ones that weren't baptized. He heard the confessions of the rest of them. He led them in the rosary. He led them in songs. And this confused the guards. It confused anybody who was the other prisoners and others nearby who could hear. And what are they doing over there? And one by one, they began to die. And Maximilian Kolbe, 2 weeks, 14 days, he was the last one to survive. And they came over to him and they injected him with carbolic acid. He's also the patron saint for that reason of those who deal with drug issues. And his last act was to bless the man who gave him his lethal injection. And Maximilian Kolbe is pictured not with just with his newspaper and the rosary and the MI and the crowns and Our Lady and the Her Immaculate Heart, but also with the crucifix, because he died a very Christ-like death. He took the place of a condemned man who he didn't even know. He died of thirst, hunger, naked, no dignity whatsoever, but in peace, in love, and in prayer. And he blessed, just as Jesus did to his executioners, he blessed his. And that man, by the way, Francis, that he took his place, was 93 years old when Maximilian Kolbe was canonized. That man, Francis, managed to get out somehow by a miracle. He was reunited with his family, and he went to the canonization of Maximilian Kolbe. I share all this because, you know, you and I will, pray God, never be asked to die this kind of death. But his life, I think, begs this question, as does the gospel. How much do I really give myself to Jesus? Like, how much do I really give myself to Mother Mary? How much do I really give of myself to others? And St. Maximilian Kolbe, he shows us what can happen when a person finally and completely says to Jesus and Mary, without condition, without holding anything back, "I'm completely yours." John Paul II's favorite line, "Totus tuus," "I'm completely yours. Do with me whatever you want." Could you imagine if all of us here lived that? "I'm totally yours. God, I'm totally yours. I give myself to you. I give myself to your mother. I give myself to others. Completely." Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Renew the face of the earth. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.